Well, as I say, I'm very happy to be here and I'm happy to see all of you. Partly because I'm just glad to be able to gather people in this chapel and get to know people who are attracted to the Anuim spirituality. Partly because I just like being with people. You know, it's been a long time in the Philippines that we've been locked down, and there's still a lot of restrictions there, much more than here. So I'm finding it very nice to be able to see people's faces at the Mass. And I'm also happy to be able to honor St. Joseph. As I said, this Mass is a votive Mass in honor of St. Joseph. Earlier this morning, I concelebrated with my old friend, Father Charles, here in St. Patrick. And I was very surprised that he decided to offer a votive Mass in honor of St. Joseph. He beat me to it. Anyway, even though I'm very happy to be here, I'm also experiencing what often happens when we pick up the Word of God. It's not what we would expect. This gospel reading that I just read is not the one I would have chosen for a Mass to gather everyone together, because Jesus talks about division. This happens a lot, if you notice that. The Word of God, when we pick it up, it pushes us in a direction that we don't expect or that we don't like. Well, that's what happens with this reading. That's the Word cutting us like a sword. So tonight, the gospel is about division, fire and division, in fact. Jesus says he has not come for peace, he's come for division. Here we are trying to gather, trying to unite, trying to foster community, trying to rebuild the nation. And along comes Jesus and says, I've come here for division. Three against two and two against three. It's very provocative. It's deliberately provocative. He's deliberately shocking us or disturbing us so that we will think more deeply about division and unity. Even the word division sounds harsh to us. Maybe because when we were kids, we had to do long division. We had to do long division. That was like a bad word almost. When you're doing arithmetic, it's easy to do adding. Subtracting is still pretty easy. Multiplying isn't so hard, but once you get to long division, okay. Well, that's not the division that Jesus is talking about. He's forcing us to ponder what he says here. Three against two and two against three. Father against son, son against father, mother, daughter, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. He's forcing us to ponder something we would prefer not to even think about anymore, because we have enough division. We have too much division already. Why do we have to drag it into the church too? I've only been in the United States now, just over 2 weeks. And wow, it's all about division here. It's all division. I thought it was bad last year. Last year was an election year and it was all Trump, Biden, Trump, Biden. Now it's Trump, Biden, Trump, Biden. It seems to be getting worse. And now not only division between political parties, but also division about vaccines, division about masks, division about education, division about gathering like this, division about, gosh, there's even division about pronouns. Who would ever have thought a few years ago that you could actually disagree about pronouns? I mean, so basic, but that's where we are. So we live in a very divided society. I'm not going to go into all that. I'd like to start with something even more basic and something more universal. As St. Paul says in this first reading, I'm speaking in human terms. He starts with something that we can understand. Well, I'd like to start with this experience. I know lots of men who are not on good terms with their fathers. And I know lots of women who don't get along with their mothers or didn't get along with their mothers. And I know lots and lots of people who don't get along with their in-laws. And you can't blame Jesus for that. It's been like that since the beginning. These relationships Fathers and sons are sometimes difficult. Mothers and daughters, sometimes difficult. In-laws, almost always difficult. In fact, if you get along with your in-laws, count yourself greatly blessed. And Jesus says, I came for division. There was already division before he came. So we can't blame all the division on him. And he's not taking on the blame for division that we ourselves have caused. We realize, actually, there's good division and there's bad division. Not just long division. There's also good unity and bad unity, which at first might strike us as a little bit surprising. Well, what's good division? Well, just think of this. Do you want to be united with everybody who's in the opposite political party as you are? Do you want to be in the same group with everybody who disagrees with you? No, it's good that there's division because then opposite positions can be brought into the light. You know what totalitarian governments do. They say there's only one party, no division. There's one party. There's one position, and everybody holds this position. That's not good. There has to be division in order for there to be freedom. Well, just think, go all the way back to the beginning of creation. Remember when God created, everything was chaos. There was no division. There was chaos. Everything was all mixed up. That's kind of where we're going, into chaos, because everything's getting all mixed up. God separated light, darkness. He divided light, darkness. He divided the waters above the heavens and the waters below the heavens. Sea, dry land. It was all separation. It was good division. It was order, putting order so that chaos is not in charge. Even male, female. God made it that way, a kind of separation for the sake of distinction and order. God made everything good, and he did it by division. So there's good division. I think we have to recognize there are sometimes things that God himself wants to be separated or distinct. And it was all good. Well, what happened? That's part of the mystery. The mystery of how disorder entered into what was an ordered world. And we don't have good answers for it, but we know what happened. We don't know how, but sin entered the world, starting with Satan. But sin entered the world. Sin is a decision to go outside or to choose against the order that God made. And what happens is, when sin is at work, the good division is brought back to chaos, and what is united is divided. You know, Satan is also a divider. Jesus says he came for division. Satan also divides. Jesus divides in the right way, and Satan tries to put together things that should not be put together, and to divide things that should remain united. That's where the disorder comes from. You know, marriage is probably the easiest example to point to. Dividing what should remain together is the problem of divorce. God said, what God has joined, let no man divide. And then if you want to see the attempt to put together things that do not go together in God's plan, think of the same-sex unions that are legal now. That's an example of wrong union. Okay, so the result of introducing this wrong kind of unity and wrong kind of disorder is the mess that we have in the world now. And it's very hard to sort out. What is the good kind of unity? What is the bad kind of unity? What's the good kind of division? What's the bad kind of division? Weeds and wheat are all mixed up, and it's very hard to even tell them apart sometimes. Who should I vote for? What position should I support? Who should I agree with? Who even knows the truth? You know how difficult it is sometimes. Even in the church, there's a lot of division. Now, again, sometimes division is necessary in order for the truth to emerge so that it's clear what's true and what's false. So that's not always bad. But it's not good if what God has put together is being separated. So that's the mess that we deal with. And even, you know, you look back in church history, this is not new. Even the saints opposed each other throughout history. There's even times in history when there were anti-popes, and sometimes one saint would support the real pope and another saint would support the anti-pope. Say, well, talk about division. You think we have it bad? Anyway, this is where St. Joseph comes in. I said this is a Mass in honor of St. Joseph. I'd like to turn to him because he's a great model and a great guide for dealing with this struggle with division. Now, he didn't experience what Jesus mentioned here. He wasn't divided from his son. And Mary wasn't divided from her daughter, and there was no in-laws to create a division. But in fact, it was a perfect family, a perfect wife and a perfect son, yes. But this perfect holy family was, if I can use the word, dumped into a very disordered world. And that was Joseph's responsibility to guide and protect the family through this mess. Same mess we're in now. So that's why if Joseph was a protector of the Holy Family then, that's why we can look to him as a protector now. We're in the same mess, the human condition. And Joseph, he didn't know everything. He didn't always know what to do. He didn't always know what to be united with and what to divide. He had to wait for the Lord. But whenever he knew what was God's will, that's what he did. And the first dramatic case is when he finds out Mary's pregnant. He thinks that there should be division from this mystery, right? He thinks he should separate himself from her. Division, because this is not his child. This is not his work. He doesn't even think himself worthy of being part of what God is doing in his wife. So he says, I'm going to separate myself. But he doesn't stop listening. He doesn't harden himself in his position. He says, this is what I'm going to do, but he keeps listening. And then you know what happens. In his sleep, the Lord gives him the light to say, no, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. Don't divide. Unite. And that's what he does, because that's what God said. So he didn't sort it out on his own. And he had experiences like this all the time. Go to Egypt. Well, he has to divide. He has to leave the promised land. He has to leave the chosen people. Go to Egypt. That's division. But God wanted that division. Separate yourself from, well, especially from Herod, you know, from evil and from the threat on the life of your son. So he does it. Then he's there in Egypt. Leave Egypt. Go back to the promised land. Okay, if that's what you want me to do, okay, I'll be reunited with the chosen people. You see what Joseph does here is not, he doesn't choose what he prefers as the division or the union that would most appeal to him. He does what God tells him to do. The one thing he does is unite himself with God, and he will not allow any division between him and the will of God. That's Joseph. And this is what he's teaching us in this year of St. Joseph. He's teaching us how to do what he does. It doesn't mean understanding everything. It means accepting the will of God in everything. Now, in order to make this clear, I'd like to turn to Pope Francis's letter. Many of you have heard me talk about this because I've used this a few times, including on our retreat 2 weeks ago. And even since, I have brought this up in some homilies. This is from Pope Francis's apostolic letter that he issued it for the year of St. Joseph, Patris Cordae, with the Father's heart. This is section number 4, an accepting Father. You know, Pope Francis, he picked out 7 characteristics of St. Joseph and reflected on them in this beautiful letter that he issued. And this is section 4, an accepting Father. He talks about Joseph accepting the contradictory experience of doing the will of God. I mentioned some of the key moments. I didn't mention the time when Jesus was left behind in the temple and Mary and Joseph are returning home without him, and then they discover he's not there. Well, no one would want that. There was a division, but it wasn't a chosen division. It was an experience of division. No, that was not That was not to be tolerated. They went back to Jerusalem to find him. And then Jesus says that word that must have cut Joseph so much, "Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" Well, that's like saying, "You're not my father." It wasn't a direct insult. It was just clarifying. It was division. I belong to the Father, and this is the Father's house. And once that statement is made, what happens? Jesus doesn't stay in the Father's house. He goes back to Joseph's house. So this is what we're sorting out. Now, this is what Joseph accepts. I'm just going to read a little section from this part four of the letter of the Pope. "Just as God told Joseph, 'Son of David, do not be afraid,' so he seems to tell us, 'Do not be afraid.' God tells us that, and Joseph tells us that, 'Do not be afraid.' Why? Well, because we trust in God, not because we know what's happening or how it's going to work out. We need to set aside all anger and disappointment and to embrace the way things are, even when they do not turn out as we wish. Not with mere resignation. We're not giving up." I mean, Joseph never gave up and said, "Well, I don't care what happens." This acceptance is with hope and courage, with hope and courage. It's acceptance with faith. "In this way, we become open to a deeper meaning." The deeper meaning is what God has in mind, which we don't yet know. That they open to a deeper meaning. Then the Pope says, "Our lives can be miraculously reborn if we find the courage to live them in accordance with the gospel. It does not matter if everything seems to have gone wrong or some things can no longer be fixed." Doesn't matter? I always get tripped on this. It doesn't matter if everything seems to have gone wrong. It doesn't matter if some things can no longer be fixed. Doesn't matter if there's division. He's not saying, "Oh, it doesn't matter." He's saying, because we trust in God, we can trust that it doesn't matter, that that's not for us to lose our peace about. God can make flowers spring up from stony ground. God can bring something good out of what is obviously evil to us. God can bring a deeper unity out of a division. And this is what Joseph teaches us. He teaches us even to accept the divisions that we don't want, but God brings about. Even if we don't understand. But never to accept division, the divisions that Satan brings. Never to accept them. Never to accept being divided from God. That's Saint Joseph. So as we honor him tonight, and as we reflect on this mystery of division, let us put ourselves under his protection, so that we can do what he does, not with our understanding, but with our acceptance of the will of God in all things.